Good morning and welcome to our Friday chapel. We begin our worship today with two prayers. The first is a prayer request for Laura Kimball. She's the mother of Emily Kimball in our theater department. Laura will be undergoing surgery on Monday to remove a cancerous growth. So let us begin with a prayer for her. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you've invited us to bring our petitions before your throne of grace. We now ask that you would be with Laura in the days ahead as she prepares for this surgery. Use the gifts of her medical team to provide healing to her body according to your wisdom. Through your word and sacrament, strengthen her in the faith you have placed in her heart that she may have confidence in your gracious care. We pray this all in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Then please join me in the prayer for Friday morning. You will find that on page 170 in the front part of the hymn book, page 170, the prayer for Friday morning. Abba, my dear Father, help me this morning and always that I may worship you in spirit and truth and desire nothing but that which is in accord with your will. Enlighten me with your Holy Spirit and cleanse my conscience from all dead works, that today and evermore I may serve you in faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and in love to him. For you have given and bestowed upon me your beloved Son, who has made to me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Grant also that I may not resist your grace and turn your great gift from me, but that I may receive your Son in my heart and not live to myself, but to him who was delivered for my sins and was raised again for my justification. Lord, this shall be my glory and my joy, to draw from you as the true fountain for grace, strength, and blessing unto every good work. Do not leave me nor forsake me. Amen.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading for our meditation this morning is taken from the book of Proverbs, the first chapter, verses 7 through 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. My son was in ninth grade. One day as we were sitting on the couch, I said to him, "So Jacob, if you could change anything about our parenting, what would it be?" And he thought about it for a while. Took a little longer, and I thought, well, that's a good sign. But then he said, "I wish you'd let me watch The Simpsons." And I said, "Okay, we'll watch The Simpsons together and talk about it." When I was about 12 years old, I grew up near the campus here, and there was a boy in our neighborhood that I kind of knew a little bit. It wasn't a close friend, but I happened to be in his garage one day. We were on our bikes talking with a bunch of other friends. And I looked in the corner of the garage, and there was a stack, a big stack of Playboy magazines. And I said, "What is that?" And he said, he was about 12, he said, "My dad gave those to me for my birthday." And it was the first time that I can remember thinking, "What? What kind of parent would give that to their child as a gift?" I think I got a Johnny Lightning race set when I was 12. What kind of parenting is this that would give that type of a thing that is so morally corrosive to someone's heart and soul and mind that would be considered a gift? And it made me really think about my parents. It made me think about how I had been brought up and what a contrast that seemed to be. Sad to say, that very young man who got that gift from his dad died of a sexually transmitted disease in his early 30s. I thought of that when I read it in the newspaper. The older you get as a Christian, and if you've been blessed with Christian parents, the older you get, hopefully, the more you begin to appreciate the blessings of having been brought up with Christian parents. And I often feel sad for those that maybe were lacking that, or maybe where that wasn't quite the case. I have a friend that works in law enforcement in town, now retired, but he told me that he worked here for many decades, and he arrested people from the same family from three generations. And there's kind of a moral dysfunctionality that can often perpetuate itself in families. As college students, you are in a very unique stage of life. You have, in essence, now come out of the home life and under the parenting and tutelage of your parents, and you now are possibly getting in the stage of life where you're beginning to look ahead at your own family and raising some children someday in the future, maybe a few years from now. And so you're in a unique stage where you can look back and hopefully recognize, I would hope, blessings of how your parents raised you if it was in line with the will of God, and also begin to study for yourself into the future. Sad to say, some, even though they're blessed with good parenting, have to kind of learn the hard way and don't really stick with that. That's what our text is addressing. You know, in many different disciplines, whether it's music, as we just beautifully heard so well, whether it's in sports, whether it's even in things like mathematics, the fundamentals that you learn, even in your earliest developing years in childhood, stay with you, and you continue to build on those. And the same is true with the great lessons of life that God teaches us through His Word and through Christian parents as well. What you learn in your childhood is deeply foundational inside of you. And that doesn't mean it could never be altered, but for most people, that becomes a very strong, firm foundation in their life. And there's a very, very delicate transfer that takes place when it comes to the things of God between one generation to the next. Handing that on from one to the next is a very careful task, and it's not always easy to accomplish. Listen to what our text says. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When you're taught in your life to look at your relationship to God as the most important aspect of real knowledge about life, real wisdom about life, this is a wonderful, beautiful thing that God teaches us. He says that when you learn these things from your parents and hold on to them and possess them and use them in your life, he says, they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. In other words, from God's perspective, having that view of life that's based on his word and the knowledge of your Savior and so on, having that perspective in life is how you are beautifully adorned. And when that happens, God even promises a blessing that comes with that. The fourth commandment that deals with the relationship between parent and child is the only one that attaches a blessing to it. Martin Luther, in commenting on the commandments in his large catechism, when he gets to the fourth commandment, he spends twice as much time on it as any other. And I think he saw there just how extremely significant that transfer was from generation to generation. God desires that we take and use this instruction that we have given in a way that permeates our lives. And he has designed a certain moral weight or spiritual gravitas that comes through our parents to us that has a deep impact on who we are as human beings in this world. And he's placed a very heavy spiritual weight and responsibility then in moms and dads. It gets passed on to their children. And then as they grow up at your age and look forward to being parents, to understand that same role that they will have. Back in 1955, there was a movie that came out called Rebel Without a Cause, starring James Dean and Natalie Wood. It was for that generation, this was the ultimate expression of adolescent rebellion. And it tended to kind of glorify that teenage angst and wanting to kind of push against your parents. Today that's very common in movies, but this was very uncommon in its day. You didn't see a lot of movies like that. And in our culture, that has sort of started a wave that has come down to us that has kind of allowed people to look at their lives as adults now in their 20s as if they can still act like little children. And to live in what many call a suspended adolescence. Not saying that about any of you. But that's kind of a plague that has hit our culture. And sometimes Christians can kind of get caught up in that as well. There's a natural bent in us against the things of God. There's a natural bent in us, our sinful nature, that rebels against the good instruction that we are given, likewise, from our parents. And you can see it starting right in our first parents in the Garden of Eden. And you can see it in their children as well, once the fall into sin has taken place. We are tempted, as our text says, to forsake the instruction of believing parents, to forsake that. The Hebrew word there doesn't mean to walk away from it. It means to throw it away like it's garbage. That's what the word forsake means. And Paul warns Timothy in the New Testament of this very same thing and same issue. Solomon writes, fools despise wisdom. It doesn't just say that they don't want to listen to it. They despise it. When you despise wisdom, that means you're saying, I know better than that. It's a spiritual arrogance that can be rooted down inside of our sinful human nature. And so the indispensable ingredient that God puts in front of us as far as having true knowledge and wisdom in this world is to have a relationship with him through faith in the Savior. And this opening few words in the book of Proverbs puts that in front of us so beautifully and should be a theme to life. It really comes down to a proper understanding of God's law and his gospel. We need that word of God in our lives regularly to show us and remind us of our guilt and our sin and all the ways that we have disobeyed our loving Heavenly Father. and that not a single person in this room could ever live his or her life in a way pleasing enough to God to be welcomed into heaven. But to then know and hear, hopefully from our parents and others, the wonderful truth of salvation through Christ, that by his death on the cross, he's made atonement for all of your sins. So I can stand here today and declare to you that you are completely forgiven of all your guilt before God. And through faith in that Savior, you get to look forward to a beautiful, bright future once you leave this life. May God give you and me the wisdom to, if we were blessed with Christian parents, take that necklace of his truth that they have put on us, that beautiful adornment they have put on us that's in our hearts. May he give us the wisdom to continually wear that heavenly jewelry, that spiritual bling, if you will, in our lives, throughout our lives. And may he also give you, should it happen someday, may he also give you the wisdom to place that same beautiful necklace on your children. Amen.